This is timely. I like this one. What do you think, Hugh?
What?
The song.
What about it?
Do you like it?
Nah.
Is that because you're being a Grinch again, or do you not like the song?
No, I mean, I just don't like the song. I mean, I like Christmas.
I don't know.
Sometimes.
A little Grinchy sometimes.
I get that. I've heard that before.
Yeah. Well, how do you not like this song? This is a good one.
Not one of my favorite, you know. Nah.
Taylor Swift songs?
Nah.
Well, you know who likes this song? I'm sure he does.
I know he loves this song.
I'm sure he loves Christmas time, too. Let's talk to Ross Tucker, our guy. We do it every Tuesday, talking some Eagles and NFL. Ross, how you doing today?
Ross!
I am doing fantastic. What's up, fellas?
Well, we're good. You know why? Because the Eagles, Ross, right now are really good. 8-2, six straight wins. And on Thursday night, they really played well on defense against an offense that had been scoring close to 30 a game. Ross, in your estimation, across the league, how would you rank this defense right now? We could look at different numbers, but my eyes are telling me as I watch all the other games, this feels like a top five defense in the NFL, which I would have never guessed before the season.
I don't think there's any question they're a top five defense in the NFL right now. I mean, there's kind of like two ways to look at it, before the bye and after the bye, or you can look at it before CD and after CD, and CD being Cooper DeJean, because they put him in after the bye, and ever since then, you know, Greg Cosell told me last week on the Ross Tucker podcast, they're the second highest nickel team in the league. It's like 90% of the snaps, they have Cooper DeJean out there, which just tells you how they feel about him, how Fangio feels about him. And what I guess I'm so impressed by is it's still early in their rookie years, and people, they try to test them. They try to test Coop. They try to test Quinion. And these guys are better than, honestly, I feel like almost anybody could have anticipated. I mean, they're not just good rookies. They're really good players in the NFL already.
You know, I'm kind of curious, Ross. When you look at both of these guys, what do you see as their biggest asset as rookies, both of them?
Probably their maturity. I thought it was really interesting. You guys will appreciate this, but you guys know I do the preseason game, so I get a chance to talk with those guys a lot during training camp.
Mm-hmm.
And what jumped out to me, remember, Cooper DeJean was hurt, like, all of training camp, right?
Yes.
And Quinion Mitchell told me, at the end of every day, he and Cooper would go back and watch every rep of practice or both practices that day together. They would watch it together. And then they were even watching, like, old video of other corners that they like. I mean, these guys are just kind of wise beyond their years. And if you remember, because Cooper was hurt and Avante Maddox, I think, was playing safety, I'm trying to remember where everybody was at, you know, they put Quinion Mitchell at nickelback in preseason training camp, you know, in the preseason games. They had Ringo and Isaiah Rogers at the outside corner. Guys, he had never played nickel before in his life. And in training camp, during nickel, and if you're not familiar, it's like a very different position than outside corner. Very different for a lot of different reasons. We can get into it if you want, but he had never played it before. And he was really good at it. And I remember saying to Sirianni, and Sirianni just kind of was like, man, he's a really good player. This is like the first preseason games. This is 2 weeks in. Sirianni just kind of looked at me and was like, he's a really good player. But they were, I think it's fair to say, not only is he better than the Eagles thought he would be, but he's clearly better than the league thought he would be. Because if they thought he'd be this good, you don't get a rookie starting corner playing lockdown ball with whatever it was, the 24th pick or 23rd, whatever it was. Like, those guys go top 10. I think because he went to Toledo, the Eagles kind of lucked out.
Ross, I agree. I couldn't believe he fell where he fell anyway. And then they got him there, and it might. Ross, when you say all this, and I think about the combination of DeJean and Mitchell, Ross, I'm reminded a little bit. I'm curious if you see a similar wavelength or on the same wavelength as me. 2022, you know, the Chiefs, the beginning of Mahomes' career, were an offensive team. They won on offense. And then they drafted McDuffie and Karlaftis in the first round, and it felt like that was the turnover to where their defense caught up, and now they win on defense more than offense. Ross, like, does this have the potential to be a franchise changing pair of defensive draft picks, these two?
Well, I think I don't know if I'm going to go so far as to say they'll go from being an offensive team to a defensive team, because as we've talked about before, nobody has more talent on the offensive side of the ball than the Eagles. I mean, you can maybe make argument for the Lions, but the receiver duo, the tight end, the running back, the O-line, and then you put the quarterback in there. I mean, I would say, Joe, on a lot of teams and a lot of franchises, it would be a defensive team. But the Eagles, it sounds like you're being a homer when you say this. I'm not. Ask anybody. The Eagles' offensive talent is just so ridiculous. And maybe they're not even playing to that yet, right? Maybe they're not even playing as well as their talent is. But their talent on that side of the ball is so good, it's hard to say that they'll be a defensive team. Although they kind of have been, you know, during this stretch.
Ross Tucker with us here on the Midday Show. All right, Ross, you mentioned Detroit there, because that's the one we're all eyeing up now, because the Eagles are now one back of them for the home field advantage, and we're kind of thinking the idea that we might see this in January. Ross, how would you assess the two teams right now? Because you look at some of the numbers, it's close defensively. I'd give the Eagles the edge, but the Lions have a good defense this year too. Offensively, I agree with your assessment of talent, yet that team in Detroit feels like a little bit of a more well-oiled machine in the passing game. Ross, how would you break it down right now? Those two teams, I think the Lions are better, but by how much?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're better too. You win a game in Houston where Jared Goff throws five interceptions on the road against a 7-4 team. That's pretty impressive. I mean, that is hard to do. The only thing I would say about the Lions that might tilt it in the Eagles' favor a little bit, guys, they lost the defensive player of the year in the league for the season. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson was the favorite to be the defensive player of the year in the league. So other than Goff as the starting quarterback, he was clearly their most important, most valuable player. So whoever you think that is for the Eagles, whether it's Lane Johnson or A.J. Brown or Jalen, I don't care who you think it is, imagine the Eagles without that guy. That's the Lions without Aiden Hutchinson. And then they just lost my why missing brother, Alex Anzalone. So he's from the same hometown as me and Taylor Swift, why missing, an hour west of Philly. But he's their captain. He's by far their best linebacker. I've known him since he was five. He just broke his forearm. He's out at least 6 to 8 weeks. My guess is he'll get back for the playoffs. But I wonder if no Hutchinson – I mean – Anzalone's the guy that wears the green dot, that gets them lined up, calls everything on defense. They got some other guys, but he was playing at a Pro Bowl level. So I think the difference between these teams right now, I think if the Lions had Anzalone and Hutchinson, I think it's the Lions by a little bit. But without those guys, man, I think you might have to give the edge to the Eagles.
All right, Ross, I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you, and you could have one of these two things by the time we get to NFC Championship game. Number one would be the Eagles' passing game locks in and starts to be a play and be more efficient at a higher level. Or, Ross, the Eagles overtake the Lions for home field and the game is here. If you could have one of those two things from the Eagles' perspective, a better passing game heading into a matchup with Detroit or the game outdoors in the cold here, what do you think would be a better thing to have?
Definitely, definitely the latter. The home field advantage. Number one, you don't want to have to play that first game, right? I mean, that it's a game.
Yep.
It's a full game. You could lose. You could get injuries, whatever. So that's significant. But also, Joe, I was on the sideline last year in Detroit for their first playoff win in 33 years when they beat the Rams that Sunday night game. That place was absolutely bonkers. Not a single Ram fan in there. The people were going crazy. I couldn't even hear myself think. Grown men, lots of them, were crying after the game. I don't think the Eagles do not want to play an NFC Championship game. I mean, that'd be great if they got to an NFC Championship game, but I would much rather see the Eagles play that in Philly than Detroit. That would be – they've never been to a Super Bowl. Those people would be going ape, you know what, to try to win that game at home to get – are you kidding me? No, no, no. I'd rather have the passing game not be quite as smooth and play at home.
Ross Tucker with us here. All right, Ross, let's look forward to this week. The Rams, it's kind of an in-between spot. Everyone was hyped up for the Commanders game because it was such a big one in the NFC East. And then next week, they'll play Baltimore, which will be a very high-profile game. This one against a Rams team that is 500, but they're right there in their division. What do you make of this game, Ross? And that Rams passing attack, when they're right, they have obviously good weapons with Stafford. What do you make of it?
Well, I think that's what's so cool about it. This is, you know, people have been talking about Quinyon Mitchell for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Well, these are the two guys. I mean, these are Jared Verse, the D lineman for the Rams, has been fantastic. By the way, he's from Eastern PA. He's from Bloomsburg. And he's been unbelievable. He is the heavy prohibitive favorite for Defensive Rookie of the Year. But Quinyon is now second. So this is a Sunday night game. Collinsworth and Tirico are going to be talking about it a lot. So what the Eagles need is, number one, Lane Johnson and Mailata to totally shut down this Verse kid. But then because of the Rams throwing the ball all over the place to Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, this is kind of a showcase game for Quinyon Mitchell and DeJean, right? Like, everybody, you know, people are hearing that they're good and whatever, and they're playing well, and a lot of people saw Thursday night. This will really reinforce it. Quinyon has a huge opportunity to go back-to-back primetime games from scary Terry McLaurin, and then probably more Puka than Cooper, but we'll see. And if he does it back-to-back primetime games and the Eagles O-line shuts Verse out, those odds might change. So not that I'm out here giving betting advice. You think that's going to happen? Now might be the time to put a wager in on Quinyon.
Get your money early, huh? Get the money early.
Ross, my heart is beating because I'm sitting on a 16-1 preseason Quinyon Rookie of the Year. I need it this weekend, Ross. I need an interception on Sunday night. I feel like that could be it.
Joe, how about a pick six? You need that, and you need at the end of the game for them to have Jared Verse's stat be like zero tackles, zero pressures. You need Mailata to lock that young man up.
That would be awesome. Ross, we appreciate you hopping on, as always. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully after another Eagles win to move to 9-2. Thank you, Ross.
Have a good one, man.
Oh, it sounds so good. I heard you guys doing the hot tub. I was worried you were going to ask me about, like, the bullpen or something. And thank goodness it was all just Eagles questions.
Next, Ross, week I need you to break down every available relief pitcher for the offseason, all right? Can you do that?
Definitely not.
Okay.
For your next guest.
You got it, Ross. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right.
There he goes. Ross Tucker.
One.
There. All right.
94 WIP breaking news.
All right, we got some breaking news here. Breaking news from WIP is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. So I was hoping that the breaking news center would be something really positive, like maybe the Phillies went and got Juan Soto, but instead, Hugh Douglas and everyone, we have ourselves some serious breaking Sixers news. So we know last night Sixers lose in Miami, and Embiid did play. Did not play well. What else is due? He hasn't played well this season at all when he's been in there. After the game, Hugh, there was a team meeting. Nick Nurse took about an hour to get to the podium to speak after the game.
Oh, wow. The whole
team
meeting.
Well,
huh?
Guess what we have ourselves? Kyle, we have ourselves some details of that team meeting?
Yeah, Shams Charania reported on the details of the meeting. So it was Kyle Lowry who called the meeting, a much-needed heart-to-heart, he says, and a call to action and urgency. Sources told ESPN, in the meeting, Maxey challenged Embiid to be on time to team activities, calling out the former league MVP about being late, quote, for everything, end quote, and how it impacts the locker room from other players to the coaching staff, sources briefed on the meeting told ESPN.
I couldn't love Tyrese Maxey any more than I do right now.
Wait a minute.
Good.
Say, like, I heard you, but could you repeat that,
I will
that,
repeat
please?
That entire paragraph there. In the meeting, Maxey challenged Embiid to be on time to team activities, calling out the former league MVP about being late, quote, for everything, end quote, and how it impacts the locker room from other players to the coaching staff. Sources briefed on the meeting told ESPN.
That is crazy that they allowed that to get out at this time. And what I mean by this time, you just gave the man $190 million. Now you want him to be accountable. It's just...
Well, Tyrese Maxey didn't give him 190.
Well,
just because Josh Harrison
but
Morey did.
Here's the thing, he didn't. But, and I'm not picking on Tyrese, but at some point he was complicit in all of this, and I guess it just got to the point where, you know, you got the young guy out there playing well. They just got fed up. That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean by the timing, Joe. It's just the timing of everything because Tyrese Maxey has been very supportive of the big fella.
Sure.
I guess up until this point.
You know, at some point, you know, I think we assume they're all on the same page. Maybe they're not. Maybe the stuff that frustrates
it's starting to get to them.
A little more.
Go ahead.
I could elaborate. So it says, Maxey and Embiid have a close friendship and have a history of holding each other accountable, according to those around the team. Quote, Tyrese loves big fella, but this is the elephant in the room, a person involved in the meeting told ESPN. Players told Sixers coach Nick Nurse that they wanted to be coached harder. And coaches, in turn, said they want the players to practice with purpose and attention to detail. Embiid accepted the messages sent in the meeting, sources said, but he stated he's confused about what the Sixers are attempting to execute sometimes on the court.
Oh, so we about to start. We just had a come to Jesus moment.
We're pointing fingers now.
Now we're pointing fingers. We had a come to Jesus moment. This is just the beginning.
So yesterday, you guys got on me when I threw out the idea that coaches get fired for this. I don't want to fire Nick Nurse, but this is what happens. Coaches get fired, fingers get pointed. You can't go 2-12 in the NBA to start a season.
No, and call yourself being a playoff contender.
Of course. Right?
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't do it. Not with this level of stardom on the team. I'm so glad Tyrese Maxey did this. You know why? Two reasons. One, he obviously feels he's emboldened now, right? He's not a young player anymore. He has his own contract. He's a star in its own right. And the other thing is, at some point, someone had to call Embiid out on this. And maybe we actually have a leader now on the team aside from him. Like, was James Harden ever going to do it? James Harden was off in Vegas in between playoff series. It wasn't going to be him. Was it going to be Ben Simmons, who was afraid of his own shadow? No. Like, so we finally have somebody else here that will call Embiid on this stuff. And if that... When that line that Kyle read, that Embiid is confused at what they're trying to run, maybe get yourself ready to go, and then you
get
can participate.
Yeah. Show up on time.
Get in shape.
Show up
Be
on time.
Be there on time, yeah. That's just crazy that all of that has happened in such a short period of time. That's what I'm kind of, you know, focused on. Hey, good job for Maxey. He's tired of it. He wants to be better. And that's what it is to me. It just sounds like he's fed up with what he's seeing, and he wants more for Joel Embiid. He wants him to be better.
Isn't it telling that it says another source told ESPN that this was the elephant in the room?
It's been going
on
a long
time. As though players have been talking about it. Like, hey, why is Embiid not here?
Because he's the guy. Because they probably felt like he's the guy. Can't say nothing to him. He does what he wants to do. And, you know, I just think the timing of all of this stuff. You know, the Marcus Hayes story and what he wrote and how Joel Embiid got upset. And now this comes out. It's just interesting the timing for all of these things talking about Joel Embiid because we've all speculated it. We've all speculated. We've all wondered how hard he has been working. And for you not to – the one thing as an injured player that you never want to be, especially if you're injured and you're trying to work yourself back, is to be late to rehab or anything that you're trying to do that's going to help you become a better player.
It gives off the sense of a lack of caring. And I look, maybe that's not it, but Hugh, it gives off that sense that you're not all in, that you don't care about this whole thing. I'm glad they called him out. Enough is enough. I mean, enough is enough. You can't just get by on being a great player. There's a lot of great players in the NBA. And at some point, this is why it's always drove me crazy. Well, he's the best player. He's better than this. No. He's a good player. He's a tremendous talent. But there's 15 of them in the NBA. There's a reason why sometimes guys don't win titles. They got to be all in. And obviously, his teammates don't think he is.
Joel Embiid should be the one calling out others for not being focused for his cause. He's the franchise player, the breadwinner. Like, this team is built around Joel Embiid. Why does he need to be the one that's told by a kid who's, what, 23, 24, by the
just
way?
Just coming into his own,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, to lock in. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
It's a disaster.
Dude,
can you find, Kyle, when you have a second here, this morning on the morning show, they played a clip of Embiid after the game responding to what the team meeting was about. I want you guys to hear this because when you hear this, it's going to cement what we just found out. All right, listen to Embiid. And again, when I first heard this morning as I was driving in, I thought it was just Embiid kind of like deflecting, like, hey, yeah, what we're talking about. But now with this information, it hits different. Here's Embiid last night being asked about this meeting.
You know, I always wanted to give it a chance. So, you know, as long as, you know, I felt like I could be out there and not faint, then, you know, I was going to try regardless.
Joe, I mean, Officer Nick told us about the meeting, I guess, without going into the specifics of it. I guess, was it a possible meeting for you guys?
Oh, we had a meeting?
Wait a minute. He talking about the meeting we just got the report
That's
on?
That's exactly the
well,
one.
Well, you know what that sounds like to me? He didn't want to talk about it.
Of course not.
But like I said, and this is a shameless plug for me, I should have been the media guy. This story would have never got, this story would have never
Wait
seen
a second.
The light
if
of
you
day.
Were the media guy, someone would walk out with a black eye. They would have thrown hands.
This story would have never seen the light of day. There's a disconnect.
Of course there is.
There's a huge disconnect because he obviously felt like that was told in confidence. Somebody couldn't wait for that story to
run
hit their
to champs. You're not going to believe what
they
just happened.
Couldn't wait for that story. It's almost like you ever seen the Wiz at the end where everybody start dancing, ding dong, the witch is dead. It's kind of the same thing. Somebody, they were waiting for that moment,
yep.
and Tyrese Maxey was the guy that got finally fed up with it. That is it. Moving forward, I wonder what this means.
Oh, it's. This is just a tip of the iceberg.
But you know,
hey, yo, the hell with this fiction,
well,
man.
Because of this, Joe, this is something, this is not behavior that just happened this week.
No, this has been building.
This has been building for years.
And you know what? It upset a lot of people here, and it should have, that Joel Embiid last year, the way he prioritized his surgery, rehab, Olympics, I wonder if it bothers some of his teammates. Like, hey, we busted our ass all summer to get ready for the season, and what were you doing? And now we're starting to start this thing. You're not ready physically, and you're late to meetings. Like, get out of here with that.
To me, it just blows my mind to think that you're rehabbing. You're trying to get in shape,
and you're late.
And you're late. And you know me, I like to exaggerate stories. You're like 30 minutes late. You're like an hour late, chilling. Like, wow.
An hour and 15
okay.
late?
Okay, 30.
35. All right, 215-592-9494. All your phone calls coming up. You can react to the Soto-Turner idea. We do have some news regarding the Phillies and Juan Soto. We're going to talk to Eric Kratz of Foul Territory. Of course, former Phil, former big league catcher. He'll join us for the High Hope Summit, for the big leagues, Phillies, High Hope Summit, the whole thing. Hot stuff. My brain is scrambled because it's the Sixers thing. And then to all your phone calls, Embiid was called out, according to ESPN last night, team meeting, called out by Tyrese Maxey for not being on time. We got a lot to react to here. 215-592-9494. Your chance to react to the Embiid story as the Sixers continue to be a disaster. Maxey calling him out. Philly stuff as it is a hot stove summit today on the Midday Show. Your call's coming up. 215-592-9494. Midday Show. Sports.